Miriam enters, wrapped in her pale blue robe, and takes the coffee almost without looking, a seamless transaction that always pleases him. She sips, pauses, and sniffs at the mug. This is sort of old.
I've been up a while, Arthur says. I'll make a fresh pot if you want.
No, I'll do it.
What time is it?
She yawns.
Is it 6:30?
Arthur nods.
I thought we could get an early start. We can stop for lunch at that place in Northampton.
Not there. She shakes her head. Do you remember the last time? Please, let's stop someplace else.
Arthur shrugs. He doesn't remember what was wrong with the restaurant.
I thought it was all right, he says. We can try that place across the street, or we can pack a lunch.
Miriam dumps her mug of coffee down the sink and begins to make the pot she has promised herself. Arthur watches his wife, full of a great, sad love for her. He knows this day will be hard. Not the drive, which they have made many times. Not seeing O'Neill, their son. Arthur understands it is the girl she dreads. She tries to like the girls O'Neill likes, but it is always difficult for her.
We have to be nice, you know.
Miriam stops rinsing the pot.
Quit reading my mind.
Okay, but we do.
Arthur rises and goes to where she is standing, her hands resting on the edge of the sink. He wraps his arms around her slender waist and smells the beginnings of her tears, a sweet, phosphorescent odor, like melting beeswax.
It's stupid, I know.
I don't think it's stupid at all. Why is it stupid?
I feel like someone in a play, she says. You know, the mother, that old bitch, can't let go. Nobody's good enough for her boy.
And you're right. Nobody is. And you're not like that at all.
A heavy sigh. Still, Arthur holds on.
She's just somebody he met in class. We've been through this how many times?
They're probably sleeping together.
Arthur nods.
Probably.
God, listen to me.
She shakes her head and resumes cleaning the pot.
You probably think it's just great.
Arthur doesn't answer. The cat comes nosing into the kitchen and coils first around Arthur's feet and then around Miriam's, asking to be let out.
That goddamn cat, Arthur says.
He kisses Miriam's neck, still warm with sleep and the sheets of their bed.
You know, I had the strangest dream, he says suddenly.
Still facing away, Miriam tips her head against his.
I think I did too. So, tell me about yours.
Arthur lets his eyes fall closed. In this interior darkness, his wife's body pressed against his, her hips and his hips meeting, always the old rhythm implied, the metronome of marriage. He imagines he is asleep and tries to return to his dream, following it down a long hallway, a trick he has used before.
I'm not sure, he says after a moment. I've already forgotten.
Was it a bad dream? She is stroking his hair.
I heard you muttering.
I don't know.
Arthur draws air into his chest.
Some of it.
What else?
Arthur thinks. It is her voice he is following now. Below him, without warning, he suddenly feels the tug of blackness, a yawning chasm as vast as a stadium. And something else, the smell of baking bread. He has never had a dream like this before. Of this he is certain. The memory of it makes him feel strangely happy. He opens his eyes.
I think you were in it.
He shrugs at nothing. Already the information is gone, as is his memory that she too has dreamt and meant to tell him what.
I think you saved me from something, as usual, so it was a good dream.
She turns to face him then, her eyes still moist. She kisses him quickly and smiles. Up close, he sees that her face is tired and newly thin. His fault. Regret slices through him, and then, feeling in its wake, a pale and luminous awe. For an instant he imagines that the children are asleep upstairs. But of course this is an illusion, a trick of time, like the pea that darts from shell to shell unseen, and so is in both places at once and also neither. No, it is morning in their kitchen. The children are grown and gone. The passage of years is amazing, a thing of wonder. He stands before it as in the past he stood outside the children's doors, listening to Miriam deliver the comforts he could not, a glass of water, a fresh blanket, Miriam holding the child's hand in hers to say, squeezing, see, this is real. How many times? 1,000? 1,000,000? Count the stars in the heavens, Arthur thinks,
and you will know that number. "You're welcome," she tells him. And their day begins.